see her rolling up, Uber black Cadillac, high heel boots and a sexy body full of tats. Baby's bad, oh baby's hella bad, after her there ain't no coming back, wanna take a run at that. I think she's feeling me, turn it up a few degrees, my imagination of her body gets the best of me. Oh gosh, she's such a tease, bitten lips, bruised knees, I'm addicted to her, need her touching me, cause she got a bad little waist, and we tearing down this place, off the liquor that we chase, Casamigos to the face, baby I don't need no space, coming closer for a taste, and I'll show you how I make everything. Everything just fade away, cause she's like sex, drugs, cocaine, body so insane, jealous of the clothing that she wears up on a tight frame, all game, no shame, baby.
Hey, hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome to Bri's channel. It actually became a cool channel for once.
Did I ride today?
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday.
That was awesome.
You like that?
I like that.
He's going to kill me for that. That's
that was right. Very unexpected. And I was like, wait a second, what just happened? The beard popped up.
I mean, everything's better with a little De Beard. So what's going on, sir? It is so nice to finally get you on the program. We're joined by OMG Moto, Mr. Ryan. What's going on, sir?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Yes. Ricky Baby's in the house.
Yes, sir. Oh, look, I've got the official Ricky Baby t-shirt on today, too.
There you go. Link in bio. Let's make it happen.
Absolutely.
So we get Ty here.
What's up, NC Crimson Glide? My man Bill, what's going on?
SJ's in the house. Awesome. Great to see everybody. Great to see. All right. You guys now, you know. Jesus.
Brian's my daddy.
We can only guess who that was. Oh, it's too funny. And we're trying something a little different. We are we're using Restream, and we're simulcasting. Is that what we call it? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. So
we're all over the place tonight.
Yeah, we're trying to send this to my channel as well and see what happens.
We're gonna break the internet. That's what we're prepared to do.
I'm sure.
So Ryan, what's going on, sir? Hey Ben.
I've been well, man. Just, trying to find the opportunity to ride that motorcycle as much as possible.
There you go. So I guess, so let's start with the elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you ride? Where are you from? What do you do?
Well, excuse me, I had to push the cough button there. So OMG Moto is the name of my channel. My name is Ryan, and some of the folks are... So people, newer viewers have been confused on my channel going, wait a second, are you Ryan or Rick? Which one is? And the answer is yes, both. So Rick Santel was a wrestling name. And then Ryan's the shoot name, which is called real name. And I am a former professional wrestler who has always been into riding motorcycles. And when I left professional wrestling, I needed something to fill that void, that creative void. And this is it. And being a part of the motorcycle community and expressing my passion for the motorcycle community. That's
awesome.
Basically what my channel is. It's just me doing things that I like to do with motorcycles.
Nice. So how long have you been riding?
Okay. I want to say, I'm not positive on the date here. I always say for a very long time. And I'll tell you this, that so apparently there's two sides to this story. My side to this story is that when I was a very young kid, that my parents bought me a Honda Z50. And I learned how to ride the motorcycles on a Honda Z50. And I've told this before on someone's channel, and I can't remember where, if it's mine or someone else's, that my father was holding on to the fender and he was saying, all right, you know, I'll let you go a couple, 5 or 6 feet. And then he would hold on to it and I would ride. And he's like, great job, great job. Well, then I went to do it again. And I said, man, I'm going forever, Dad. I love this. I turned around and looked back at ease, which seemed like it was probably 20 feet, but it seemed like it was 5 miles behind me, just at the house, waving at me, going, good job, good job. And I just went, and I fell over.
Oh, no.
So the flip side of that coin is that my older brother heard me somewhere tell that story. And he calls me up and he goes, man, you are a liar. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, your first motorcycle was not a Honda Z50. I said, yes, it was. I remember being a kid. He goes, no, that was my bike, and you rode it all the time. So I was like, oh, I don't think you're telling the truth. I think you're the liar.
It's YouTube. We don't fact check.
Absolutely.
It's fine. Memories are always better with there. We joke about that at like holidays. It's like, we don't fact check, put your phones away. You know, yeah. Maybe Abraham Lincoln didn't go to the moon. I don't know, but it's Thanksgiving. It's just all good.
I think he went to the moon. He planted a penny on the moon, I think is what it was.
He did not tell a lie.
Right.
Right. I was George Washington. Now I'm totally
chopped out a moon cherry tree. Wait a second.
So what do you currently ride?
2006 Fat Boy, Harley Davidson Fat Boy. It's a soft.
Nice.
It's lowered about that much. Somewhere. Okay. I don't remember how much we lowered it, but it's lowered, and it rides like a hardtail. So I would call it a 2006 Harley Davidson. Used to be softtail, now hardtail.
Oof. Yeah, I'm too old for that.
Yeah. And I've got a LaPera bare bone seat, which makes it even better.
Ooh. So what got you into the Fat Boy?
You know, I had a friend of mine that he had a Harley Davidson Fat Boy. And sorry about the audience back here. The peanut gallery is going to – they're fighting. He had a Harley Davidson Fat Boy, and I rode it, and I just thought, man, I love the way this motorcycle feels. I love the way it looks. I love the way it rides. And that was kind of it. I rode it and I was sold on it. And I just decided that, when I buy something that I'm getting a Harley Davidson Fat Boy, and that's what I got.
Very nice.
I wish there was a more glamorous story. I know some folks are like, oh, I watched The Terminator. I was like, no, they didn't do it for me.
No, we got YouTube royalty in the house. Bodine's here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's living a two motorcycle dream.
Yeah. You know, here's my question is I noticed that it seems like that folks, they have one bike, then they buy another.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, well, let me get another. At what point is enough when it comes to motorcycles? Is it 10 bikes? Is it 5 bikes? Is it unlimited amount of bikes?
You know, I kind of feel like two is reasonable. I think once you go over two, because there's a strong argument for having a bar bike and a big bike, but or an ADV bike or something like that. But I don't know what, I don't know. I guess that's a good question. Bodine says there's no number, which means his next video dropping will be his third bike.
Yeah, introducing his new motorcycle.
Yeah,
or two.
Yeah, he needs to get an adventure bike. I could see it.
Yeah, and a dirt bike, and then a Honda Grom.
Oh, see, there you go. Yes, Mike, this is simulcasted. We're trying something different. And I won't lie, I got no idea what we're doing. So,
oh, look, you know. So now people are, so I've got, see, I should have hired somebody to answer the people on my end.
Well, it looks like they're showing up in both. Like, if you look at Mike, it says he's paired. So I don't know if you can see the side chat on your side, but I'm seeing both chats. That's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, so you're seeing mine and yours. I see yours. I have to pop mine out.
Every so often, it'll show up. It'll say paired. Oh, I don't know if you can see. Sorry, guys. I'm not trying to do this purposely. Yeah, so he's commenting on.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, somebody knows you. GC knows you. So what up, Uncle? Sup, Uncle?
Oh, that's my nephew.
Nice. What's going on, nephew? Well, of course, Dallas is on both because, you know, well, anyway, we won't get into that. So I hear you have some exciting news going down there
for the hockey
chapter. I've heard rumors.
Rumors?
Rumors on the interwebs.
About my hockey chapter?
That's what I heard. I heard there's maybe a patch over or something.
Really? Bri, how in the world do you know this?
You know, I know people.
You're correct, my friend. He has reach is basically what he's telling us right now, guys. So, yes.
Let's go that far.
To answer your question, the hog chapter that I am the assistant director of, we're based out of Moonshine Harley-Davidson, and we have always been called the Middle Tennessee Hog Chapter. That was named many owners ago when Moonshine Harley-Davidson was Cool Springs Harley-Davidson. And then I think it went through a couple of different name changes. And at some point, we were having a discussion with the owner of Moonshine Harley-Davidson, Jamie Lima, and we just said, there's only one thing that hasn't changed. We are Middle Tennessee Hog Chapter, but we're based in Franklin. And whenever we go places, people say, Middle Tennessee, where are you guys at? Franklin, how far is that from Nashville? So they're automatically thinking we're based out of Nashville. And one discussion led to another, and one day Jamie came back and said, hey, guys, I'm changing the hog chapter name, and it's going to be called Moonshine Chapter. And so we got the we received the updated artwork the other day. It's it says Moonshine Chapter on the top, and it says Franklin, Tennessee on the bottom, which is pretty cool. So, you know, I live right here in Franklin, and that's now that we're wearing something on our backs that represents the dealership that we're from and the city that we're from. So I think
that's fantastic. Cool. Yeah. Cause a lot of them, like I know the one here is like Lower Bucks or, you know, they don't have a tie, and that's really great. And there's a lot of things coming out of Moonshine.
There is, you know, Jamie works really hard on that Moonshine Horsepower brand, and it's they are bike builders that, you know, they're just not taking a bunch of parts and putting parts together. They are guys that actually are taking parts and working with companies and saying, hey, we like this about your product, but can you maybe change it so it'll work this way? And we need something that works with this product over here, or can you build something similar? And you know, there's a lot of stuff. I kind of have to dance around what I can say, because there's a lot of stuff that he does.
That's fun.
That he's in the works with companies about. And to make a better performing, higher horsepower motor, and he's constantly working on that. I mean, he's, I don't know if I can say all of it, but I can just tell you, he's not just an owner. He's got degrees that help him do what he's doing.
Okay. Very nice. So what got you working with them? I actually, you need to tell the story about that, how you started your YouTube channel. And
yeah,
that's a great story.
So, like I said, it used to be Cool Springs Harley Davidson. There was a different owner. The guy's name was Rich. I think when he sold to, Jamie that, I think he moved to, I want to say California or something, but I was just sitting there. I kept tossing around, you know, man, I think I want to start a YouTube channel. I thought, oh, I don't, I do. And then one day I watched somebody's video, and they said, it was some creator who had a large following. He said, if you're thinking about starting a channel, he said, just do it. There's never a right time. And he goes, and you're never going to learn how to do stuff unless you start doing it and make your mistakes and just fail forward. And he goes, just start your channel and start it today. Start it with a cell phone. And I was like, man, I'm going to start a channel. So I just bought a GoPro, and I had to figure out how to do everything. And I went to, they were having, I think my first video with Moonshine Harley-Davidson, they were having a question and answer type deal. And I went up to Jamie, the owner of Moonshine, and I didn't even know the guy hardly. And I just said, I really want to start a YouTube channel, and I'd like to be able to do some stuff up here. And he said, okay, yeah. He goes, what's the name of your channel? And I said, well, I think at the time I had maybe two or three videos up, and probably a grand total of 20 views. And I don't know. And he pulls up my channel, and he goes, yeah. He said, so what do you want to do? And I just said, well, I'd like to, you know, do some stuff with your bikes and talk about your dealership and just be able to walk through your dealership. And he looks at me and he goes, well, you only got 10 subscribers. It's not like you could hurt me in any way. And I said, fair enough. So that's a yes? He goes, yeah. I said, sweet.
That's awesome.
So I was like, so now it's just one of those things that, you know, he has really that that relationship has formed into a friendship, and that friendship has formed into where now they call me and they say, hey, Ryan, we've got this bike that was a moonshine build. Someone traded it in. And we would really and truly love for you to come out here and do a video on it. And we're going to give you the dyno sheet. We're going to give you the specs on it. So we'll give you a couple of days to study the specs, and you can come out and ride this bike. And we just want you to do your thing. We just want you to go out there and tell people what it's like and how it feels. And honestly, if you watch some of those videos, sometimes I nerd out, and it's a true reaction.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I literally, there's points where I looked at them and I thought, man, I got to edit this out. I look just ridiculous. But then I thought, you know what? This is raw emotion, and you don't always have to be cool. And one of the things that I learned from the transition from professional wrestling to motovlogging is, in professional wrestling, you're supposed to be cooler than your audience. In motovlogging, it's probably best that you're not cooler than your audience. And I don't have to play that character, Rick Santel, to try to be the tough guy all the time. And I let people know that, hey, I'm just kind of a nerd. And I'm a guy that loves motorcycles. And sometimes it comes out in a 12-year-old girl sounding giggle.
Well, but I think that that's like the entertaining thing, because Katie will tell me that all the time. She's like, we didn't say that right. I'm like, you know, you get what you get. And yeah. Sometimes the things that make that are like you said, I mean, sometimes in the moment, you just screw it up.
Well, you know, that's funny that you say that, because sometimes when I'm talking on camera, I know what I'm going to say and I have it in my head. And then I say it, and it is completely different coming out of my mouth than what I processed, what I thought I said. Because I'll go back and I'll listen to the tape, and I'm like, why did I say that? That's not what I was going to say. It's just what comes out.
Well, and I think that there's a lot to be said for something that's more organic than being so cut up and scripted. You know, it's hard, because I like to nerd out, and sometimes it feels too scripted, but you know, it's just who I am. I think if you're true to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the world of professional wrestling kind of prepared me for this, because, like I said, I'm a very creative person. And what I mean by that is I got a million ideas going through my head at all times. And so I'm constantly writing stuff down saying, oh, I want to do a video on this. I want to do a video on this. And I've got a list a mile long of stuff that I want to do. And I go back through and I think, no, I don't have enough to do a video on that, so I'll wait. And when it came to the world of professional wrestling, I bullet pointed all of my stuff, and that's basically what I do now. Is I bullet point what I'm going to talk about, and the rest of it just comes out. And sometimes I don't even know where it comes from. Like I listen to something, I'm like, what? I didn't even know that. That was pretty good. I'm glad I said that. Or, man, that was the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life. Let me go ahead and edit that out.
Well, I think sometimes that's the problem too, because you can edit and you can tweak it. There's so much opportunity for you to get lost in your head.
Yeah.
So what's this about you being a bachelor?
I just saw that.
Now, Ronnie, that's a great question. Thanks for throwing that out there.
Ronnie, I know where you live. Don't forget.
Uh-oh.
Ronnie belongs to the Hog Chapter up here. You've probably seen him on a couple of my videos, Rogue Captain Ronnie. I don't know what he's talking about. He must be drinking. No, so, when Moonshine was Cool Springs Harley Davidson, they did a bachelorette. The show was, what was the show? No, it was before The Bachelor. What was the show where they, you sat on one side and then the women sat on the other side and there was a partition between you and you guys talked
about like a little connection.
Yeah, so they did something very similar to that, except it was coming out and they had all these bachelors come out and they would try to basically they said, hey, we're going to put down this amount of money on you, and you're going to be the we're going to take you on a date. So they were bidding on you. And so I did that. And for they did it a couple years in a row. And at the time, I still had long hair. I was still kind of working out like a madman. So I was still pretty buff. And somewhere another, Ryan went away, and the wrestling character Rick Santel took over. And I was taking my shirt off and doing this. And I'm just glad no one filmed this thing. And I ended up, and they were giving money to the some type of pet hospital. I think it was the Williamson County hospital up here for pets, so, the Williamson County Animal Hospital or shelter or something. And biffed the stuff. Yes, I agree. And but I ended up raising more money for my bids than anybody else altogether, which was
oh, that's fantastic.
So I took that as a win.
That is awesome. So what got you into professional wrestling?
I had always been a huge fan. Okay. I was a fan growing up. I used to watch it. My grandmother, which was my father's mom, used to watch it. We used to watch it every Saturday morning, and I just thought it was, I mean, the best thing ever. And the only two things that I watched were professional wrestling and bass fishing.
Okay.
And I was bass fishing like a madman. And then when I was a kid growing up, I literally weighed 90 pounds. When I graduated from high school, I literally weighed 112 pounds. And people used to bump into me. And they would literally not say, excuse me, or sorry about that, kid, or anything. They just bump into me and keep walking. And so I was like, man, I'm going to start working out. And I had no clue how to work out or anything. And I've told this story before. I went into a gym and I picked the biggest dude in the gym, and I just started mimicking him. And one thing led to another, and luckily he didn't rip my head off. And I ended up working out with this dude. You know, he told me, he's like, what are you doing? Why are you mimicking all the moves that I'm doing? And I told him that I wanted to work out with him, and he said he didn't work out with anybody. Well, I just kept showing up at the same times he was showing up, and I'd stand 20 feet away from the student and I'd work out. Well, I ended up, after this guy put some size on me, I ended up meeting a guy that we used to talk pro wrestling all the time. And just, we were always talking about the latest show, what just happened this weekend. And this guy said, man, you should come to this wrestling show with me. Well, I went to the wrestling show with him, and I came to find out that this guy, hold on, I got someone coming in. All right, guys.
We got a cage match going back there.
I ended up going to this pro wrestling show. Well, the dude comes out, and he's dressed in gear. And I'm like, what? Are you a wrestler? And the guy goes, yeah, man. You just come backstage. So I ended up watching. And this dude kind of taught me the very basics of professional wrestling. And then from that point forward, I'm one of those people that when I get into something, I want to seek out, you know, and not say anything negative about this guy, but I wanted to seek out with someone that had more knowledge and at a different level. So I kept seeking those people out and kept kind of getting in with those people and learning to learning the art of professional wrestling. And to make this long story shorter, I ended up becoming a part of talking my way into becoming a part of the ring crew for TNA Wrestling. And I met Jill Jarrett, who is Jeff Jarrett's late wife. And from there, it just kind of snowballed into one of those deals where, man, I would do whatever they wanted me to do. If they said, hey, there was a wrestler that was supposed to work on the show, and he showed up, and he was highly intoxicated and ended up passing out. Well, I went over there. I went to Jeff, and I said, hey, Jeff, I've got my stuff in the back in my truck if you guys need somebody to go out and take a beating tonight. I'm your guy. And he just looked at me, and he goes, okay. And, like, just said okay like it was, you know, yeah, whatever, kid. And so I end up you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing after I put the ring up and everything. And he comes over to me and he says, Santel, you got your stuff? I said, yeah. He goes, go get your stuff. And he said, you're working, I think, I can't remember who it was, but he said, you're working this guy tonight. And he said, you get two punches. That's it. And he goes, nothing more than that. And okay. He goes, and I said, all right. And he said, you get it? You got it? And I said, yes, sir, I got it. And so this guy, I get with this guy, and he says, all right, man, you're going to you can do this. I said, hold on, brother. I said, I was told I get two offensive moves and their punches, and that's it. And he goes, all right, what about one punch, and what about an almost an offensive move, and then I'll just cut you off. And I said, well, what's the almost move? And he said, you go for a tilt-a-whirl head scissors takeover, and I'll face punch you. And I said, that's perfect, and I'll sell it like $1 million. And Angry Alan Funk is who it was. And when he took me around and brought me straight up, I mean, he put me down, and normally you would turn your face on a move like that. And I just said, I want a job. I'm going to face plant myself. And I just went straight in and boom, came up. Blood was coming out. And I just went, okay. You know, I took it the hard way. And it was a real slow build of just showing up and always being there and working, trying to work harder than one could possibly imagine to get a shot and a chance. And that's kind of, it evolved from that.
That's awesome. So how long did you do that?
15 and a half years.
Damn.
Yeah. Which is a long time. I mean, really and truly, there's, most guys last between 6 and 8 to 10 years at the most. And everybody, especially the old timers, will tell you that you have a maximum amount of bumps that your body can take. Mm-hmm. And a bump is when you fall down. And once you hit that you're done. There's nothing that you can do to keep your body from breaking down at that point. And when I was just starting in the wrestling business, I used to just take the craziest bumps. You know, I'd go up on top of 20-foot ladders and tell the guy, just kick the ladder out from under me. I'll fall and I'll land like I'm supposed to. And each one of those crazy, stupid bumps takes life off of your career. And at some point, I want to say it took about maybe 6 years in where I said, okay, now I'm starting to understand what these old timers were telling me. And I'm not going to take those crazy bumps anymore, because it's not like that they would say, oh, some promoter would say, let's just say Vince McMahon would go, oh, that guy took a bump off a 20-foot ladder. Let's hire him. He probably didn't even have a clue if I took 900 bumps off of a 20-foot ladder.
Well, yeah, and I think at that point, right, the talent's kind of expendable. The show goes on.
Absolutely, it does. And that's the thing about pro wrestling is that if you're a wrestling fan, all you have to do is say, think about the guy that used to be your favorite guy 5 years ago. Is he still there? I mean, barring, you know, the big, huge names, but those people that were almost a little bit higher than mid-card, are they still there? Do you know where they're at? Are they even wrestling? You know.
Well, that's an interesting point. I never thought about that, because, like, the modern wrestlers, like Hogan and The Rock sort of evolved, but, like, Superfly, Jimmy Snuka, those guys, Jake the Snake, they all took a beating.
Absolutely.
You know, and they sort of, yeah. I forget what that was. I was watching a video about Jake Snake, and it was pretty interesting to see how – it's sad to see how much his life declined.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing about pro wrestling is that there is a there's a rock star mentality as far as with the boys, and the boys are all the wrestlers. And that rock star mentality is one of those things where they feel like that they got to go out and live life like a rock star. And do things like we go to this town, then after the show, they need to go drink 10 cases of beer or something. And it's like, what in the world? You know, you got these crazy talented individuals that would get caught up in that rock star mentality lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, hey, you're going to trade all of your talent and – your amazing abilities for all of that. And when I'm a guy that I would always tell everybody that I didn't have wrestling talent. I had work ethic, and I worked and worked and worked and worked to be able to be half as good as some of these guys were, you know, working matches where they're just like, oh, I'm just going to go out and kind of, tonight's a night off, you know, and I'm going out there and giving it everything I got. And everybody's like, man, that's an amazing match. You guys did awesome. You have so much talent. And I'm like, you have no idea, you know, because I had to work really hard. But those, some of those guys, man, it just blew me away. That was something that I just looked at and said, I'm never going to take these days for granted, because I know how fast they could go away. I mean, and it did when it was time for me to go. I had an injury, and it was a knee injury, and I really thought that I would come back from it. And I thought, man, I'll be back in, you know, 6 months at the most is how long it'll take me to recover. And it was one of those deals where I could not recover from it. And I was like, what in the world? And, you know, 16 years of saying, hey, I'm going to do this for a living, and this is the only thing I ever want to do. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh, now you got to go get yourself a job. And it's like, what?
Yeah. That's got to be brutal. I mean, but you bring up a good point. I mean, I think work ethic trumps everything, right? If you're willing to put the work in, you can do anything.
Absolutely. I believe so too. And I always tell people that it's one of those deals that if you want to sum up my personality, you could take this image in your head. I'm the guy that's going to, here's the wall. I'm the guy that's going to run into that wall and just keep on running into that wall. And finally, there's a small crack and I step back and I go, there's a crack in the wall. I got a chance, baby. And I'm just going to run even harder into that wall. And I'm going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. But as long as I never get to the point where I go, man, you know, I'm not so good that I can't make a mistake. Or, hey, I made a mistake and I don't want anybody to know about it. I make a mistake, I'll tell you I made a mistake, and then I'll say, how much harder can I work to never make that mistake again?
Yeah, I think we learn just as much from success as we do as failure.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes failure, you learn more.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. But so I think
Big Smitty brought up a question. He was shouting out Dusty Rhodes. So I guess this turns to the side chat. And you, who's your favorite professional wrestler of all time? Big Smitty. You can't suck up. You can't do it.
No, all time favorite professional wrestler was Ravishing Rick Rude.
Okay,
that's who I modeled my character after, and it was really interesting that I would watch him and watch what he did and say, okay, how can I do that, but change it a little bit where everybody didn't say, hey, you're trying to be like Ravishing Rick Rude. So I just modeled that. That character after Ravishing Rick Rude. And okay. Ronnie must be drinking. He must be hitting the bottle hard tonight.
Yeah, Ronnie's throwing the questions out hard.
But I never got a chance to meet Rick Rude. I was able to meet, you know, I was a big fan of Dusty Rhodes. I was able to meet him and become buddies with him and wrestle for his, he had a promotion in Cleveland, Tennessee. I was able to, spent a lot of time there, and there is a story on my YouTube channel about me, Dusty Rhodes, and a buddy of mine named Chase Stevens, and it was a fun time.
That's awesome. And actually, Smitty, not to throw everybody out in your business, but I hope you're feeling better, bud. I saw your Instagram. Smitty's dealing with some health issues, but hopefully we get you hopefully you're back to being normal there, sir.
Normal, yeah, get well soon, brother. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody likes to throw me under the bus and say that I get my guests to cry. But as we both know, social media is kind of a really ugly place. And I hope it's all right to bring this up, but I hear you've been dealing with a stalker in your Hog chapter.
I have been.
How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, all I can do is just try to live my life and go out and do what I would do normally every single day. But like sometimes, for instance, the other morning, you know, I got up and I went outside and there was a guy out there this is 5 o'clock in the morning. There's a guy out there just cleaning my bike. I'm like, what? at first I thought the guy was trying to steal my bike, but then I realized he's spraying something on it. He's got a microfiber cloth and he's wiping it off. And I go, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he turns around and it was Dallas. And he said, "Hey, I'm just making sure that your bike was clean. You know, I saw that that it was a little dirty out yesterday and humidity was high. And I wanted to make sure it was clean." And I was like, "Okay." And then he said, "Do you know where the next Hog Shacker meeting's at?" And I was like, "No, it'll be on the Facebook page." And then I just went inside and I came back out and my bike was shinier than it's ever been.
Because he showed up at my house the other day. I got a whole new patio. I mean, it was nice of him, but yeah, it's a
little
odd.
He just gave you a patio, just built it for no reason?
Yeah. I think he's a traveling concrete salesman. It's got to be hard to sell concrete door to door.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even in this economy.
What is this? Middle Tennessee Concrete. 10 cases of beer isn't that normal. If you like death, then I believe it's normal.
Apparently, Dallas is afraid of chickens. So
what?
Apparently, he's afraid of chickens trashing his concrete. So we were thinking about showing up at a job site and doing a flash mob and just letting out a bunch of chickens. I mean, you know, it's the least we could do.
A truckload of chickens just letting them run loose.
I mean, think about the content, though. I mean, sure, we ruined his job, but, you know.
Yeah, at some point, though, I think there has to be a point where the concrete has cured just enough that you can still fix it.
Yeah.
But why would you want to fix that? All those wonderful little amazing chicken feet all in the concrete?
I think maybe it becomes a thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm thinking,
what is it called? Popcorn ceilings and Texas ceilings? Do you have chicken feet concrete? I think that sounds like a winner to me.
You know, I'm more worried about the fact that he was caught in the women's bathroom at the Hog Chapter, but
this was a true story. But so I will say this one thing in Dallas's defense here in Tennessee, when you walk into a restaurant or store, most bathrooms are set up men on the right, women on the left. And for some reason at that place, what is that place? Brew House South, that place, it's switched. Because even the guy that was our server walks over and said, he said, "Man," he goes, he said, "we have this happen 3 or 4 times a night, every night. And usually some woman comes out and says, 'There's a guy walking in the bathroom.'" I'm like, well, and we have to explain to him, well, our bathrooms are reversed.
So it would help Dallas to read.
What? I'm watching two chats over here.
Yeah, I know. It's getting confusing. It's working pretty well. I'm impressed. I mean, there hasn't been any breakdown. We haven't drooped out yet. So love you, Droop.
The pixelated look. The pixelated monster.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go into like one of those behind the musics where the guy's all pixelated. He's talking about the mob or something. You know.
It was an accident. What if it really wasn't an accident?
I mean, it's Dallas. You don't know. That's the problem. Why do you hate me, Droop? Droop, let me ask you a question. I don't want to make you cry. Do you hate me more or less than your internet? That's all I'm asking.
That's that Virginia net.
Oh, man. So what's next for you? Well, I shouldn't say what's next for you. Well, first off, you're sitting right at 4K, which is amazing. You're just about to break 4K, so congratulations on that.
I appreciate that. I think I'm about 8 subscribers away from 4,000. My first goal is 5,000, and then, of course, after that, it's the 10,000 goal.
But, that's awesome.
I would have never thought that I would be where I'm at now, because every time that I see that my numbers go up, I kind of go, man, I can't believe that people are actually tuning in to listen to what I got to say, because some of my videos, I try to make some of them informative. Then I try to do other stuff that I find fun. And then sometimes I just get out there and I say, I'm going to drive from point A to point B, and whatever comes into my head, I'm just going to speak it. And there's what I would call my old-fashioned, old-school motovlogs. that's what that is. I go riding. I don't have any idea what I'm going to talk about. I just start talking, and sometimes I'll talk for 20 minutes and I got a 15 minute video. Sometimes I'll talk for 45 minutes and I'll get a 10 minute video. And I'll cut a bunch of stuff out of it and pitch it down the trash hole, never to be heard again.
That's funny.
But you start to ask a question. You say, what's next for my channel? I tell you what I would like is that for this channel, I've said it before, is that I want my channel to be a place where people can come and have a positive interaction, where people mm-hmm. can come and I'm just a guy. I'm just a dude and that has a passion for motorcycles, and I like to talk about it. I would like to do more collaborations with other YouTubers. I would like to do branch out a little bit. I keep telling myself that one day I'm going to buy a dirt bike and introduce a dirt bike or something to the channel. And I think that would be really neat. You know, I've thought about, you know, I had a buddy that has a, what is that? The Kawasaki, I did a whole video of it. I can't remember what it is right now, but anyways, I brought him and his bike on the channel, and, we talked about his bike for a while. And so I would like to be able to branch out just a little bit as far as, because I'm a firm believer in, although Harley Davidson, I'm going to pick Harley Davidson over any motorcycle at all times. I'm a firm believer that as long as you're on two wheels, that that's better than not being on two wheels at all. You know, I'm the guy that when I see the guy on the moped, I'm like, you know, I'm giving him the wave. What's up, brother? Even though you're on the moped, other Harley guys aren't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you the wave.
Now, do you wave to Can-Ams?
Are they motorcycles?
I don't know. It depends what state you're in, because sometimes they register as motorcycles. Sometimes they're not. I don't know.
I don't know that I would call. They're a backwards three-wheeler to me.
They are.
Yeah. I didn't have a job at NTSU.
So what? How do you like to spend your days riding? What's a good happy ride for you? Do you like to do long distance, short distance, destination?
I like them all. I like to try to be on my bike as much as possible. I will. There's days where I use my motorcycle as my daily rider, and there's. I'm sorry. I just had someone off camera do something. Yeah, my wife. She said, your wife. I almost completely forgot what the question was. But, I love the long rides. I love the long rides with the Hog Chapter and riding these group rides. I'm a big fan of the way that our Hog Chapter does rides, because our number one rule is that we want everybody that goes on a Hog Chapter ride to come back and be able to ride safe and come back to their family that evening. So mm-hmm. we take pride in saying, hey, we're going to do hand signals, and we want everybody on the ride to do hand signals if you can safely. And we're going to take this long ride. We're going to have a good time. We're going to go somewhere, whether if it's eating or if it's going to some like Fall Creek Falls or something and walking around down there and then coming back. So I like all of it. I like the long rides with the groups. I like the daily rides and the, hey, I've got to run 10 minutes down the road, but I'm going to be on the bike all day, and every errand I'm going to run, which may be 8 hours of riding my bike, I'm going to be on that bike, and I'm going to do short hops all day long. So I like that as well.
Okay. And what are your thoughts for folks that haven't joined the Hog Chapter, don't know that much about it? Because I know each Hog Chapter is different.
Yeah.
You know, I know you can get a good Hog Chapter, a bad chapter, but what would you say to the guy that buys a Harley or maybe has a Harley and you know, is interested in at least checking out his Hog Chapter?
Yeah, I say go out and I say ask those guys, you know, go to a meeting and ask them, hey, what do you guys do for rides? And, find a hog chapter that's like us. We focus on fun, and there is the only rules that we have in place are safety rules and safety protocols, and that's what we tell people is, hey, we're only going to do these rules, and the only reason we're doing these rules is because it's going to keep everyone safe. But there's not any other rules. I mean, there's not, oh, well, you got to ride here because you've got more seniority and you don't have enough seniority, so you need to ride here. You know, there's none of that going on in this chapter. It is basically based on, hey, how can we get from point A through point whatever, B, C, D, E, F, G, and do it safely and then get back home. And so I would say go there. Talk to your hog chapter, find out what type of ride they are, see what type of camaraderie there is with their group, and give them a shot. You know, if you don't like it and you're close enough to ours, come to ours, hang out with us. You'll be pleasantly surprised. There's guys that come in from the other chapters occasionally and they ride with us. There's out of towners that come in and ride with us. So it's, you know, I think we just have a really good time, and that's what we focus on. So that's try awesome. To find one that focuses on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like anything, right? It doesn't matter what you're in, the right group of people, it's great. And I know being in smaller, non-organized, kind of loosely formed groups, it was fun.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have people to ride with.
Have you ever been in a hog chapter yourself?
I've not. We were going to join when we got the Ultra, and then we never did. And it was kind of one of those things like, yeah, I'll go back.
Yeah.
The truth be told, Dallas didn't tell me where the meeting was, so I couldn't. No, I had thought about it, and then it was just kind of one of those things in the periphery. Like we tend to, when I ride, I generally as a rule ride by myself, mm-hmm. or like with one or two people. So I mean, eventually I'll check it out. I know that they do a covered bridge ride that I wanted to do this year.
Okay.
The money goes to charity, so at some point I will.
Yeah
But yeah, I only go to Dunkin', that's true. Now, if they had hog chapter meetings at Dunkin' Donuts, you might be onto something, Dallas. But we're going to, so just so you guys know, OMG has a hard stop in 12 minutes. So if you guys have questions, please post them. I meant to.
Except for Ronnie. Don't post any questions. Except for Ronnie. Road Coffee Ronnie, shouldn't you be working on your next ride?
I'm not associating with Barb's SJ. I bought my Ultra there, and that was enough. Notice I didn't buy my new bike there. That's all I'm saying. And dealerships are just like chapters, right, man? Dealerships are so hit or miss. You know, you can find a really good dealership or a really crappy dealership. And I feel bad for the folks that don't have this selection like we have here. There's, you know, there's chapters everywhere.
Yeah.
Not chapters. I'm sorry. Dealers everywhere. Yes, Jay. So I went to, I don't know if I told, well, I did. I told you, I bought mine at Garden State. They're actually a really good New Jersey dealership, part of WIMS. But so what's, what are your plans as far as a bike? Do you plan on going to something bigger down the road? And if so, what would that bike be? Do you have a dream bike?
So the answer is yes. So there are, and I've talked about this a lot on my channel, and it's not one of those things that I'm teasing or I'm trying to build anticipation or anything. It is really and truly, I have no idea what I want. I know I want a touring bike. I do not know if I want a Road Glide or a Street Glide because I've ridden both multiple times. And there's a lot of things I like about the Street Glide. There's a lot of things I like about the Road Glide. And there's days where I say, hey, you know what? It's going to be this bike. And then a day or two later, I'm like, you know, I think it's going to be the other bike. And there's a huge part of me that's afraid that if I buy one versus the other, I'm going to regret my purchase. The big question is, am I going to keep the 2006 Fat Boy that I call the Blue Ghost? My wife wants me to keep it. She says, you know, don't get rid of it. And mainly because I don't want to hear you complain for however long that you shouldn't have sold that bike. But I always tell her, like, yeah, babe, but there's two sets of tires that go along with that. There's two services that go along with that. And then there's, you know, have I been riding this bike enough? I need to ride this bike over here. And so I'm not real sure what I'm going to do, even on if I'm going to trade the Blue Ghost in or if I'm going to keep it, or if it's going to be a Road Glide or a Street Glide. I know that it will be one of those two. It's going to be a tough decision, I believe, on my part to figure it out, because I'm telling you, I've rode both those bikes a lot, a whole lot, and I still haven't said, this is the answer. I'm purchasing this bike. I haven't made that decision.
Well, then you'd be the good person to ask. So I've had both, and everyone has a different belief, but what would you say is the biggest negative between the two bikes?
Negative. So here's the thing that I think everybody always says that's the positive about the Road Glide. Oh, it's got that fixed fairing. Well, I'm a big fan of low-speed drills. And the fairing that moves with the bike on the Street Glide is great for low-speed drills. I think it gives the bike – it makes it easier to balance. So if I'm rolling at 5 miles per hour and I want to go in a circle, a tight circle, that I can use that weight of that fairing to kind of keep me upright. And with the Road Glide, I've noticed that when I've gone to do low speed drills on a Road Glide, it takes me a second to figure out the balance point, that I have to kind of use more of my body versus more of the bike. So that would be for me, if I was buying a bike that I knew that I only wanted to do low speed drills on, then to me, it's going to be that Street Glide, because it's so much easier to use that fairing as counterweight.
Okay.
And it's, for me, it's not as easy to use that Road Glide fairing. I would love to hear, some of these guys like Paladino what's the other guy's name? Ron Simmons. Robert Simmons. I was thinking Ron Simmons, the wrestler. Robert Simmons, his take on that as far as which one that he likes for low speed drills, because, you know, as far as this is what I've heard. Now, I have not experienced this. As far as the Street Glide goes, everybody says that when you're going down the interstate, well, I say everybody, a lot of people have told me, you're going down the interstate, you drive by a truck and you feel a lot of vibration on that fairing. I haven't experienced that yet, but I've been told by multiple people that, yes, that does happen. But I did experience when I had disc rims on a Fat Boy that I would go by a truck and the gust from that truck would hit those Fat Boy rims and it would literally try to push me into the next lane. So I can imagine that would probably be the case sometimes.
Okay.
So I would say that would be a perceived negative for a Street Glide, but that's something that I've experienced. But I'm also built this way. When someone tells me, hey, you don't want a Street Glide because of this, then I'm like, well, okay, you know, you don't want a Street Glide because of that. I do, because I accept the challenge, my friend. Or if they say, hey, you don't want a Road Glide because of this, then it's the same thing with that. Mm-hmm. Is it? No, I do run a Road Glide because of that, because I want to be challenged. And I don't want to say, well, I shied away from that bike because someone told me it might do this, you know, have this negative effect on you.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know that I still fully have a developed opinion between the two, because I've only had the Road Glide. Well, I feel like the Road Glide's been in the shop more than it's been anywhere. But it's interesting, and it's an interesting camp too, because people are so passionate about one or the other.
Absolutely crazy passionate. I hear the guys tell me there's no ride like a Road Glide. Guys say the exact same thing with the Street Glide, and it's. And I know guys that have both, and really and truly, they've all told me, man, when you get one, you need to get this because of, and, you know, so it's just, I think it's probably almost like anything else, that it's going to come down to personal preference, because I think the differences between the two, at least for me, are very, very, very small. But I have never... And I hear this all the time where people say, well, I got on a Street Glide and man, I felt that fairing the whole time. I've never felt that fairing beyond anything other than, hey, this is a tool for me to balance the bike better.
Well, yeah. And I think it's too, it's like anything, right? It becomes the, It's what fits your skill set and your reach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's kind of like the people that have fully stocked bikes and then complain that they're not comfortable. It's like, yeah, but make it fit you. You know, there is an option.
Well,
get a victory.
What's that? So I said,
get a victory. There's a good investment. Oh, poor victory, you bastards.
Well, I had someone tell me one time, they said, oh, well, Harley makes this, it's not comfortable. And I asked them, I said, well, I just have a question for you. And this is something that I've kind of brought up on my channel before. You have a bike manufacturer that is making motorcycles for the masses amount of people. 5'1 up to 6'9. I got a buddy that I used to wrestle with. He was in TNA, he was in WWE, and the dude is 6'11" and rides a Dyna Wide Glide. So jeez. Did Harley Davidson have a 6'11" guy in mind when they were making the Wide Glide? Absolutely not, you know. And it's one of those deals where it's like, I think they're doing a great job for making motorcycles to fit the masses. And then that's where you have to go in and do little tweaks. So if you want to put a different type of suspension on there, put a different type of suspension. If you want to put a different seat on there that's more comfortable for you, that you have to go with that seat, because there's just no possible way they could say, all right, Ryan, I'm going to make this bike for you, and it's going to be the perfect bike for you. And it's also going to be a perfect bike for the guy that's 6'5", 300 pounds.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I always tell people. I don't care if you're buying a new bike, an old bike. I don't care what brand of bike you're buying. You got to leave something in something left for accessories to make sure it fits you properly. Because I know with the Ultra, when it had the stock bars on that thing, I had such a hard time riding it. Yeah. And I put 12s on it. The bike was so much more nimble because it fit me. It's amazing what a properly set up bike can do for you.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of the fun part of it is a lot of people look at my 2006 Fat Boy and I pull up at a gas station. They go, what is that? And I say, what's a Harley Davidson Fat Boy? What? Are you serious? And it doesn't even look like a Fat Boy because, you know, they're automatically thinking disc rims. They're automatically thinking that big, huge seat in the back. And, you know, I just keep making changes. And these are changes that I've sat and went, okay, do I really want to make this change? Do I really want to buy this and put it on my bike for a few months and then take it off and try to sell it because I didn't like it? So there's a great deal of thought process that goes behind each change that I make to my bike.
Yeah. You don't want to go into a Harley dealership drunk. You'll just wind up buying parts you don't need. Yeah. And to your point, I think that's key is that do the research and make sure what you're buying is going to be, you know, what you need.
Absolutely.
There's so much material out there to research. So we're coming up really close to your hard stop. So let's, where can people find you? What can they look for? What do you want to plug? Why do you hate Dallas? You know, anything we're talking about?
The easiest thing to do is go to omgmoto.com. That takes you to everything of mine. It'll take you directly to my YouTube channel. And from there, you can get to my Instagram. If you're not on my Instagram channel and you're not on my Facebook, there's a lot of stuff that I will put out on Instagram and Facebook before I kind of give teasers about what's coming up on my episodes. So there is, and that's a way that you can actually reach out to me. And I respond to every single person that reaches out to me. And you know, I read all the comments too, even the bad ones, even the ugly ones, and they just make me laugh. I had some guy, this was an old video, and I had to go back and watch the video because he was just, man, you're wrong. And he was so passionate and angry in his message. And I was like, I don't even know what the crap this guy's talking about. And I had to go back and watch the whole video, and I was like, how in the world did he get that from my video? This guy, he must have been drunk. So there's two types of thank you for watching. There's thank you for watching, and which means the definition for that one is, hey, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come to my channel to watch this dude. And, you know, And I don't take that lightly, and I'm truly appreciative. Then there's this other one, which we call the Southern Bless Your Heart. And that
I'm aware of that one.
Yeah. Thank you for watching.
And I didn't realize that I married a Texan girl. I didn't realize that Bless Your Heart is geographically broken up into what it means.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the best when someone is just saying all this stuff and your response is Bless Your Heart.
So like, they're what? Saying that you just cracked 4K, sir. So congratulations. I hope that's true.
Yeah, really? I'll have to look over at that. Oh, wow. Let's see here.
That is awesome, man.
Well, my thing's saying that I'm at 39.98. So two more to go. Dallas must
have. All right, Corey, are you lying? Hold on. Let's just check before we let you go so we can celebrate. Here, let's see.
That would be a great moment, Brian, right here on your channel, and I hit 4K.
It says 4K on the when I look you up.
Does it?
Yeah, congratulations,
man. Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
So well earned.
Well, I'm a guy that's going out here and having a good time and sharing my passion about motorcycles. And when I tell people that they can reach out to me and ask me anything, I'll pretty much talk about anything unless I don't want you to know about it. Brian, yeah. I really appreciate you letting me be on your channel, man.
Oh, anytime, man. Thank you so much. Go enjoy your time with your family, and I appreciate the positivity, man.
I'll tell you this. I've been working on this Saturday's episode. And this Saturday's episode is a first impression video. And I'm hopefully it's going to have to be probably a later episode, but hopefully I'll do a premiere and I'll be in the side chat. But it is going to be on the Indy Ridge Mohawk boot. So I've had it for a few weeks. It's my first impression of the Indy Ridge Mohawk boot. I've been really excited about this motorcycle boot.
One of the things that they haven't explored could you beat off an attacker with it? I'm just saying if you needed content and Dallas shows up your house.
Something to think about. That's you know what? Let me write that down. Fend off an attacker, okay, / stalker. All right, perfect. I've got
and it. I mean, I could watch slow-mo of him taking a beating all day. I'm just saying. Ryan, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. So, guys, we're going to cut this. We'll be on next week. Beggars and Brewers, I believe, is on tomorrow. And then I believe Monkey's on Friday, too, I've heard. So
sweet.
Everyone, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
See you, everybody.
Remember, you're not alone.